Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Genesis 37. Genesis 37, and we'll begin with verse 5 and read through verse 10. Tonight I want to talk to you about an overcomer by the name of Joseph, a man that overcame, overcoming in the middle of difficulty. I don't know where you are tonight, but I have a hunch that a lot of us in this building have some things we need to overcome, some trials, some difficulties that we may be facing. But Joseph is a great example of one who overcame those difficulties in his life. And stay in the book of Genesis, because we're going to be going to a number of verses as we look at these. Genesis 37, beginning with verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. That's probably making him mad by this time. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it unto his brethren and said, Behold, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Well, that's where it began. That's how it started out, where he had the dream and he shared that dream with his family members. And he ran into all kinds of problems at this point because of his dream and because he knew what God wanted him to do. Our circumstances should never keep us from being an overcomer. I don't care what our circumstances are, they should never keep us from being an overcomer. After all, we're children of God. And every single negative that comes in our life can be turned into a positive. That's exactly what happened here in this situation. We know that from Romans 8:28. And Joseph's life had a lot of negatives, but we'll see as we go through this that they were turned into positives. You think that you've got problems? He really had some problems. And you'll see them. But some of you have come in this building tonight, you do have problems. There are some problems that other folks don't know about. Financial reversals, financial pressures. Some have some serious health problems. Some just found it out. Some just heard what was really wrong with them. Some have trouble at work, and there's not fairness, and they're not being treated right there. Some are very disappointed in some of the things that are happening in life. And some have, some pastors in other areas have church problems that they're facing. But we all have things that we face, and we should be overcomers in all of those things. And so let me give you about six principles tonight, so that way you can know when we're coming to the end. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that will, that you should overcome, and these principles will help you to do that. Number one, be resourceful in your dreams. Chapter 37, go back and look at verses 6 through 9. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. We are binding sheaves in the field. Now get the picture. They're out in the field together. Lo, my sheaf arose, also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. In other words, your sheaves bowed down to mine, and you're going to bow down to me. That's what he was saying to his brothers in these particular verses. You're going to bow down to me, and fire was kindled because of that. Joseph, at this time, was a teenager. And he had a dream that God gave him, a couple of dreams that were real important. And you know, when God in the Old Testament there gave dreams, those dreams came true. Now, we don't have dreams as such today. Now, God may use some dream you have, but God does not intentionally speak in dreams today. But we have the Word of God. That's where we get our information, from the Bible, the Word of God. And all dreams come true from those that were given that by God. They all came true. Now, here's what I'm saying to you tonight. If you have a vision, and God does give us vision, whether you're a young person who just graduated or you're a senior citizen, doesn't matter. You get a dream, you get a vision from God. Find out what God wants you to do, and then don't back off. Do it one way or the other. Keep on keeping on until you get the job done. So that's one of the things we need to do. Secondly, be resilient in their difficulties. Be resilient in your difficulties. Now, if you're not sure that your vision comes from God, you'll waffle. You'll waffle. Now, he was going to look in chapter 37, verses 18 through 20. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They were so mad and so angry at what he had said and at his dream that they wanted to kill him. They conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Man, they were mad, they were angry, and they really wanted to get even with him, and they wanted to kill him. Actually, they wanted to kill him. Well, here's a lad that's probably about 17 years of age. We don't know exactly what his age, but somewhere around 17 years of age. How many 17-year-olds do we have here tonight? Raise your hand. We've got a few that are here, and that's how old he was probably during this time. Now, how in the world, starting with this kind of situation, how is he going to overcome and endure all of these things? And the brothers did turn him over to someone who actually made a slave out of him. How's he going to keep this dream alive that God gave him, knowing that this was God's will for him and it was going to happen? Well, he had resilience in his dream. Look at verses 1 through 4 in chapter 39. And we're purposely going to a lot of different verses. But I want you to see how these things developed as they went along. In chapter 39, beginning with verse 1, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, besought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." Now I want you to underscore the words, "and the Lord was with Joseph." All the way through here you're going to see, "and the Lord was with Joseph." And if the Lord is with you, you can do anything. You can conquer and be able to overcome anything in your life. "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hands." This is progressing. He was a slave. He had been purchased. He had been bought. And now he is in Potiphar's house. But remember, though this is not what he would have planned for his life, God was in charge of his life. And Potiphar was allowing him to finally take over as the main guy, the head guy, the one that was going to help in his home, take care of a lot of his business so that he could go about his business. All of this was taking place. Now, it was not Joseph's circumstances that he was really brought down by, but it was his walk with God that gave him victory over those circumstances, because he was walking with God. Joseph had character, didn't he? Somebody said we look at it and we see the providence of God in his life. Somebody's mentioned that providence is like reading Hebrew. You read it backwards. you look back on what took place and you see what it was. And so God goes with him, and then he goes, winds up in prison, and all of these things are happening to him that you and I probably would be popping pills and going crazy. And so there he is, right in God's will, doing what God told him to do, trusting God, and God was with Joseph. And that's a testimony to all of us that God will be with us too. God is with us. We're his children. And it testifies what God will do for us. There's nothing God cannot do for us if God wants to do it for us. It's all the will of God. And so God's in charge, and God's sufficiency is there. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I'll help thee. I'll strengthen thee. I'll uphold thee by the right hand of your feebleness. No, the right hand of my righteousness. God said, I'm there, and I'll take care of it. And he did. So be resilient in the times of your difficulty. Don't let it get you down. Remember that God is with you, and God's providence is being worked out. And then thirdly, be resistant in your desires. Chapter 39, and look at verse 6. Chapter 39 and verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. There he was in Potiphar's house. But he's going to meet a mad woman. A bad woman. A woman that had no scruples whatsoever. We know her as Potiphar's wife. He's coming through being a slave. He gets sold into this family. And some things are taking place in his life. He's got to keep his eyes on God, though he may not understand all of it. And here he meets the wife of Potiphar. And she probably was a very good-looking woman, probably had the best of clothes, so on and so forth, because of all the wealth. There's a time, friend, to fight, and there's a time to run. Amen. And this was the time to flee. It was a time for us sometimes to put on a good pair of Adidas tennis shoes and get out of there. Now, don't buy Nikes. They're bad people. But we're better off if we leave and run, and we may lose our coat, but thank God you don't have to lose your character. Amen? It's better to lose your coat than it is to lose your character. And so he had character. And God said, I'll make a way of escape. And thank God Joseph took it. So many times we don't take it. The door's there and we don't go through it. We don't take the way of escape. But he took the way of escape. And this was if you can imagine that situation. He's a slave. He's in that house. She's calling the shots. She probably ran her husband. But she's calling the shots of what goes on. And she is trying to get him to have a relationship with her, an immoral relationship with her. And she is infuriated at him because he won't do it. She's mad at him. I can hear Joseph saying, I did right, but what? Man, look at what goes on. Look at the trouble I'm in because I chose to do right. And sometimes it may seem that way. But don't worry about it. Just keep doing what God tells you to do. And then number four, be resolute in your disappointments. You're going to have some disappointments along the way. And he had all these problems, and then he had some very serious disappointments. Chapter 39, look at verses 20 through 23. You know and are probably familiar with the story, but we need to be reminded of what took place. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Thanks a lot, master. You loved me one day, and the next day you want to throw me in prison because your wife lied on me. A place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Yeah, I have an idea about this time Joseph's thinking, God, what are you doing? What's going on? This is really not what I expected. This is really not what I thought the dream was going to lead to. And so the king's prisoners were bound. He was there. He was in prison, real prison, as a prisoner. But the Lord was with Joseph. Amen? The Lord's still with him. He's got all these problems. The Lord was still with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Who's doing that? God's doing it. Amen. He's thrown into prison. But God's overruling all of that. In verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. Isn't that amazing how God just kept bringing him up, bringing him back up? Cream rises, you know, it goes to the top. And here he is in all these problems, but God's with him, and now he goes to prison, and next thing you know, he's the chief guy down there in the prison, helping out the other guy to see that all the prisoners are treated right and taken care of, and everything was running smoothly. Now, probably he was about 28 years of age at this point. 11 years, let's say, had passed since his dream. 11 whole years. God, what are you doing? Is this dream going to come true? Is it going to happen? And he had two royal prisoners with him, the butler and the baker. And I won't go into all the story of the butler and the baker, but you remember the butler was restored and the baker found out that the dream he had wasn't a good dream. Had a basket on his head and had seed in it, and the king took his head off as a result of that. But here were these that he had met, and they made some promises to him about what they would do if what he prophesied and what he saw in the dream would come true. And sure enough, that's what was happening. But here's what happened. The butler was supposed to tell Pharaoh what could be done by Joseph. And he was supposed to remember him. But guess what? He forgot him. And for 2 years, 2 years, he was still there in prison. 2 years later, after Pharaoh's dream, and he still hadn't been released, and the butler had not told him about the dream. By that time, he's wondering again, what's going on? By the way, let me say this here. God's delays are never God's denials. Amen. God's delays are never God's denials. We think they are, but God's in charge, and his delays are never God's denials. And he learned that God was with him there. And I've learned throughout life the same truth in the ministry and in serving the Lord, that God is there and that God's delays are never denials. Sometimes, I know when I was pastoring, there was some vision I had and I wanted to get it done, and I wanted to get it done now, and I wanted it to happen now, but God said, no, hang on, wait a little bit, and I had to patiently wait upon the Lord until God gave the timing and God gave the means and God gave the situation for it to develop, and he had learned some of that. And then fifthly, be responsible in your duties. Be responsible in your duties. If you're going to be an overcomer, be resolute in your disappointments and responsible in your duties. The king woke up, and who should be there but the butler? The butler was there, and he said, oh, you know, king, I have been remiss and I have failed. I should have told you. The king had had a dream, and he wanted somebody to tell him what he was dreaming about. He said, I meant to tell you only 2 years later. I meant to tell you about that, Pharaoh's dream, and he told him about Joseph. Look at chapter 41, verse 1, and then verse 9. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Drop down to verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Now, it seemed like a delay, and it may have seemed that God wasn't in charge, but I promise you, God was still in charge. He's still overruling this whole situation. And so now he causes things to happen. He causes another dream, and the butler tells him about it. And then he makes plans after that because of the success of the dream and what took place to select a wonderful and capable leader. Look at chapter 41, verses 37 through 40, beginning with verse 37. And this is what God is doing. The dream is going to happen. Verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this man in whom the Spirit of God is? By the way, he had a great testimony, didn't he? I mean, he had a testimony for God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has shown thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art." And then look at verse 40. Unbelievable. "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Said, now you're the second person in the whole kingdom. Only Pharaoh, like a king. Only Pharaoh was number one. And he said, "You've interpreted my dream. You've got a good plan. You've told about what's going to happen in famine and how we're going to take care of all of that." And so now, as God is working out the dream in his life, and as he does not get discouraged or stay discouraged, God has made him and lifted him to this great position. "You're over my house and my people." Now he's probably about 30 years of age, 13 years later. Nothing was lost in all of that. Nothing was wasted in all of that. No time was wasted. None of that. And he became the second most powerful man in the whole wide world at that time. Nothing was wasted. And then we see something about him as an overcomer. Most of us have been mean as a junkyard dog, and we'd want to get even, done everything we could to get even. But he was restrained in his resolution, and sometimes we have to be. Famine came. Judah had the food in Egypt, all of that. For 7 years, they had put it back. And now things had changed, and they were in charge, and people were coming to them. And his brothers had to come to Egypt. Isn't that strange how God works that out? Here, his brothers said, "We got to go to Egypt and get something to eat. We're starving. We don't have food." And that, by the way, wasn't an accident. That was God's providence working in all of that, obviously. And so they came to Egypt. They had no idea that Joseph was the prime minister. And I think Joseph played a game with them a little bit. Look at chapter 42 and verse 7. 42 and verse 7. "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them." He didn't let them know who he was, "and spake roughly unto them." That's about the only time he was like that with them. He sort of spake roughly unto them. "And he said unto them, 'Whence come ye?' And they said, 'From the land of Canaan to buy food.'" We've come to buy some food. And Joseph threw them into prison for about 3 days, and then he sent back some grain and said, "Leave one of your brothers here." You know how the story developed during that time. And then they didn't know that he knew what they were saying on occasion. By the way, Joseph knew Hebrew, and they were speaking in Hebrew, and they didn't know he was listening in Hebrew. They didn't think he knew it. You better be careful what you're saying around people. They may find you out. And he... I think he did them. Chapter 42, verses 21 through 24. "And they said one to another, 'We're very guilty concerning our brother.'" It's beginning to dawn on them. "In that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." You see, they never got over the guilt of what they did. They were still dealing with that. All of these years later. "And Reuben answered them, saying, 'Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against this child? And you wouldn't listen to me. You would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required.'" And they knew not that Joseph understood them. They didn't know he understood what they were saying. He understood all of it. "For he spake unto them by an interpreter." He went along with it as if he didn't understand the language. "And he turned himself about from them and wept." His heart was broken. He wept. He returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. A lot of things took place after that. We don't really have time to go into it. But Joseph finally cried out to them. And Joseph finally told them, "I am your brother." God had put him through all of this, all of these things, all of these difficulties. He had a dream. He knew it was from God. He knew God was going to take care of him. And finally now he's in this position, and then he's saying, "I am Joseph." Look at chapter 45 couple of those verses there. Then Joseph, chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. He cried out loud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I'm Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" Can you imagine the moment when he said that? And then he wanted to know, is daddy still alive? He really didn't know. And his brethren could not answer him. I reckon not. It's like, oh my goodness, you're Joseph. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. You know what they were thinking? He's going to take our heads off. He's going to get even. He's Baptist. No, anyway, verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, for I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt." You remember, I know you did it, and you know. "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither." Now watch this. I hope you can see God's power, God's providence. And look what he says. "For God did send me before you to preserve life." He said, all of this stuff turned out for me to preserve you. And by the way, to preserve the Jews. And by the way, we got our Savior from the Jews. Amen. And that was part of that, the attack of Satan to try to destroy them and to try to starve them out and to ruin the Jews. And yet God in his providence brought them around, took care of them, and ultimately Jesus was born and we got our Savior from it, redemption. And so he let them know who he was. But look at verse 15. Let's drop down to there. Verse 15, instead of doing like most of us would have done, he released his bitterness. Let me tell you something. If you want to be an overcomer, you're going to have to release your bitterness. If you have bitterness tonight at somebody for whatever reason in your life, you're never going to be a total overcomer until you forgive that person. You say they may not take the forgiveness. That's not your problem. You have to forgive them. And all that these guys did, I don't know what I would have done. I'd have probably found me some kind of instrument or something and ordered my soldiers, take them out and just beat the tar out of them and remind them what they did to me, not Joseph. You know, because Joseph is such a type of Jesus. And so he didn't do that. In verse 15, 45, 15, the scripture says, "Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him." Isn't that a pretty picture? He forgave those people. And he said, "Load up the wagons." And those wagons had stuff in it. They were testimonies of God's grace and that God was going to take care of them. "And go get your daddy, bring him back, and come to Egypt, and I'll take care of you. You're going to be a prosperous people." And that's exactly what took place. May I say to you that Jesus is the Joseph of the Old Testament. Or Joseph is Jesus as he's presented in the Old Testament. In chapter 50, look at verses 19 through 20, and we'll finish up. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a picture of Christ right here. A beautiful picture. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was mistreated. Jesus was treated like a slave. And we could go on and on and on about how Jesus was abused, and he never fought back. In fact, he said, just like Joseph, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? Amen. And if you're here tonight and you've never been forgiven, never been saved, Jesus Christ will save you tonight. I don't care what you've done, he'll forgive you. He loves you. He'll weep for you. He's the one who will save your soul if you turn your life over to him. And Jesus' story is available to everybody. I'm glad it's for whosoever will. You hyper-Calvinists, smoke that in your pipe. We're not just bodies, but we can be forgiven and restored. Amen. Aren't you glad God can forgive people and restore them? We have some here in our church that God has forgiven and restored. And if we had testimonies tonight, a lot of people would get up and you'd be shocked at their past. You'd be shocked at what they would tell you about their past. Well, what happened? They met Jesus and they got restored and they got forgiven. And then we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that as Jesus forgave us, we ought to forgive others. And if we learn to do that, when we can forgive others, our forgiveness comes from the reservoir of God's forgiveness to us. And when these things fall into place, we can be an overcomer. Are you an overcomer tonight? God, help us to be overcomers. Don't let things get you down. God has made some promises to us. He's going to keep them. You may wonder sometimes, what's going on? Why am I having all these problems? But God will take these things, everything that we have that is difficult, and He'll turn them into a blessing if we'll just trust Him and give Him time to take care of them. No matter what it may be, loss of a loved one, the disappointment of a mate, whatever it may be, you can be an overcomer through Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. And Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for this beautiful, beautiful story, one of the most intriguing stories, a true story in all of the Word of God. And thank You for Joseph. Thank You for what You did in his life, and that all, no matter what he went through, You were with him. And God, help us to remember tonight. I know there's some people here tonight going through a lot of stuff that maybe a lot of other folks don't understand. But may they understand tonight that they can be an overcomer through Christ. Delays are not denials. You're still working in their life to bring about the dream of really counting for You and bringing honor and glory to You. If there's someone here without Christ, I pray they would see the forgiveness that Joseph gave his brothers and see that he's a type of Jesus who is willing to weep and forgive and change our lives if we'll come to Him and be born again. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.